Good morning. Everybody good? Glad that you are spending your morning with us, worshiping the Lord. If you are visiting with us, we're especially glad that you are here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in our midst, and I hope you feel the love of His people in our midst. I join with Billy as we pray for the Jayton United Methodist Church. Jim Reinbolt was, how many years were you pastor there, Jim? 10 years. And a friend of mine is pastoring EC. Many of you know my friend EC is pastoring there now. So we want to keep that church in our prayers. But if you are visiting with us this morning, we are glad that you are here. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It's got a blue stripe at the top. It says guests. Would love for you to fill that out and let us know you were here. You don't have to do that, but would love to know that you were here and love to meet you. I'll be out in the foyer at the end of the service down at this end by the donuts. Many of you know where the donuts are. And if you are our guest, I'd love to greet you there and got a free gift for you. If you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me also say the Exalt service that we will be participating in next week, next Sunday, is it's at 6? Right? Is that what I put in the email? 6 o'clock? And we are responsible for ushers. Ushers. And I need about 18. So unless some of you are really, really, really fast, I need 18. So you can let me know, you can call me or text me or email me, and we'll get that set up, and we'll give you the details. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, and he's speaking of those who have died, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask now that you would be here, that you would speak, in power and authority. And we would listen, we would hear, and you would transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm starting a new sermon series today. The sermon series, remember the old commercial, Got Milk? You remember that? And they had the little white thing, you know. This morning, to start the series, Got Hope. Got Hope. And today's message is Hope for Loss and Grief. Anyone ever had loss or grief in their life? We all do. It's a human condition. It's the world that we live in. I will tell you a quick story. Our community group listened to, I think I may have mentioned something about it last week, but our community group listened to a video of this man. I'm going to give a shot at his name, Nabil Qureshi. He was a young man that was a Muslim, and he was a devout Muslim. His whole family tree, going all the way back to his great-grandfather, were Muslims. And they were not just Muslims, but they were I don't remember what they called themselves, but their mission was to convert other people to the Muslim faith. And what is interesting is this young man, it started out in high school. He had a girl sitting in front of him that turned around one day and just said, she said, Nabil, do you know Jesus? And he took that. I mean, he was wired. He took that as an opening for him to convert her to the Muslim faith. He didn't succeed in that. He finds himself in college a few years later, and his roommate is also a Christian, and he's reading the Bible one night, and Nabil says, do you know that that's a bunch of nonsense, what you're reading? And it's like this Christian roommate, he's kind of like, oh, man, here we go. So they started this lifelong friendship, and relationship talking about their two different faiths. What's interesting is, and you can actually, if you go to YouTube and YouTube Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, you'll find this video. But it took him about 4 years of a friendship and a dialogue with this Christian. He accepted Christ. He recognized that something existed in the Christian faith that wasn't there in any other worldview, including the Muslim faith. Now, when he accepted Christ, he knew what it would cost him. It would cost him his relationship with his mom and his dad and all of his family, and he would bring, as he said, he would bring great shame on them, and he was grieving the pain it was going to cause his family for him to become a Christian. And so he said, I began to look in the Quran for comfort. And he said, it wasn't there. There was nothing. There was no words of comfort. And then he said, well, I gave that a try. And he said, so I opened up God's Word, and he said, I didn't know anything about where to read or where to start. And I just began to read, and he said he found himself in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And he said, just this warmth of comfort just flooded his soul. He understood that Christ provides comfort. He is our hope. Well, that's powerful. That's powerful that we don't, sometimes we take that for granted. I know me being raised in the church, it's like, that's just always been there for me. It's just always, I've always known that, I've always had that. But to come into this brand new faith and to realize it's like, oh my goodness, I have a God that loves me, that walks with me, that wants to comfort me. Got hope, church? You got hope? We're going to jump right in here. We can have hope as believers. We can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus promised. Don't you love that? Jesus promised. Now, Jesus said in John 16, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He's honest with us. He says, man, this world can be hard. This world can be difficult. There can be grief. There can be loss. But I'm bigger than that. I've overcome that. There's something above that. It's me. I've overcome the troubles of this world. And then I love this passage out of Hebrews. I think these passages I put in your notes there. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So let's unpack that for a second. He who promised is faithful. So we have hope that we profess based on a promise. And the one that promised the hope that we profess, his name is Jesus. Hope for the Christian is, it's not this whimsical, fanciful hope like I hope I win the lottery or I hope my hair grows back or... Go ahead. By the way, earlier when Carlene was, I told Lynn, my brother Lynn here, when she was saying that God knew he could count all the hairs on your head, I said, I'm making God's job easy. Just trying to make it easy. It's the kind of guy I am. It's not this whimsical, fanciful hope, but it's a hope founded on the steadfast faithfulness of a loving Savior who's always good for his promises. He's never lied to us. He never will lie to us. And he has promised us hope in this world. And not only did he promise it to us, but he is hope. Which leads me to the second point. We can have hope as believers. We can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus grieves with us. Jesus grieves with us. And some of what I'm sharing today, I share many times at funerals for those who've lost a loved one. But I love the story of Lazarus. It's a rich story. Lazarus, many of you know, it's found in John 11. Many of you know the story. Lazarus was close friends, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, they were very close friends to Jesus. I mean, personal friends. And Jesus is away from where Lazarus is, and he gets word, Lazarus is sick. It's serious. You need to come and heal your friend. And Jesus delays. Why would he do that? Well, he goes on to say later, I'm delaying because I'm fixing to glorify God. Watch this. I mean, that's kind of maybe the paraphrase, but that's what he's saying. I'm gonna bring glory to God. So just hold on. So he finally, after 4 days, Jesus gets word that Lazarus is dead, and he's traveling back to where Lazarus is, and we pick it up in John 11:32. When Mary, one of his sisters, reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, and he's on his way back, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Do you hear that? The love of a sister. If you'd only been here, you could have saved him. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He said, where have you laid him? Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Verse 35, John 11, it's the shortest verse in the Bible, 2 words, Jesus wept. It could be some of the most powerful words for those who are grieving or who have loss. Jesus grieves with you. He's not this God that stands back and kind of just observes. He's this God that gets involved, who grieves with us. Now, what's interesting, as Jesus weeps, what's he getting ready to do? What, he knows how the story's going to end. He knows that the weeping will soon turn to rejoicing. Yes? He sees that. It's like, I don't know. I'm Sarai. I guess I'm not Jesus, but I would have been puffing my chest out and going, hold on. Watch this. Just hang on. Watch this. I'm going to dazzle you. But no, Jesus weeps. He weeps. He saw Mary weeping. He saw these friends weeping, and he had compassion. It says he was deeply moved in spirit, and he weeps. If you have loss or grief in your life, that you are suffering, that you are grieving, Jesus weeps with you. He grieves with you. And thirdly, we as believers in Christ, we can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus is our hope. He doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't just define it. He is our hope. Not our good works. I tell you, I don't know how we miss it, but I've quoted this before, but I read a survey a couple of years ago where they surveyed, these were church-going Christians, and basically said, how do you get to heaven? And 77% said, you lead a good life. You do good stuff. And man, I don't know if it's possible, but my head almost explodes when I hear that. I would expect that from people outside of the church, outside of the teachings of the gospel, but for us inside the church to say it's because if we live a good life, we'll get in. We're in. No. Is this on, Arliss? No. That's not it. It's not it. Stop mocking me, Steve McCarn. I know. He makes fun of me every time I do that. It's not it. We have, let me just read God's word. It is by grace, Ephesians 2, it is by grace, meaning we get something we don't deserve. It is by grace we are saved, meaning without grace, we're doomed. I mean, it's not going to be good. So it's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It's a gift from God. Man, how are we getting it wrong, church? How are Christians getting it wrong? It's like you lead a good life, you get into heaven. If you lead a bad life, you do bad stuff, you go to hell. No, that's why Jesus came. That's why he hung on a cross. I was touched this morning. Trevor, thank you for singing Because He Lives. Thank you for leading us in that. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Not because I'm good, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives. Because he lives, all fear is gone. All loss and grief is gone. He walks with us through it. Because I know he holds the future. Mary, he's fixing to teach Mary and Martha about the future. Life is worth the living because he lives. So we pick the story back up of Lazarus again in John 11. And so he's already, Mary's already greeted him and said, Lord, if you'd only been here, you could have saved my brother. Jesus weeps with her. Listen to the sister, Martha. Lord, she said to Jesus, sounds like they might be sisters. Been here, my brother would not have died. Same exact statement, and when she sees him. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, no. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says, this really jumped out at me as I'm preparing for today. Do you believe this? He's asking Mary, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you die, you're not going to stay dead. Do you believe this? That's what he's asking her. I believe Jesus was asking Mary if she believed he had the power over death itself, but I guess I'm also saying is, I think he's asking us the same question. He's saying to us, I'm the resurrection and the life. You don't have to grieve without hope. Do you believe this? That's what he's asking us. Do you believe it? I mean, do you really believe it? When our loved ones go before us, that's why we should be passionate about sharing Christ. Because Christ gives us hope. The passage we started with, it says, don't be ignorant about those who've gone before us. Don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. So that tells me a couple of things. Number one, Christians grieve. And it's okay, Christians, to grieve. And secondly, it says, but our grief is different than those who don't have Christ. Our grief has hope attached to it. And hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Do you believe this? Amen. Now, this is not a condemnation, because I know most of us, I've probably answered this question like this before, but I don't answer it this way anymore. But if you're asked the question, when you die, will you go to heaven? If your answer is, I hope so, there should be alarms and whistles and bells and chimes and everything else going off in your head. That's not the answer, friends in Christ. If we say, I hope so, or I think so, we're placing the burden upon ourselves to be worthy of that. And that's not the way it works as followers of Christ. Our answer in Christ is, yes, I am, by the blood of Jesus. Not I hope so or I think so. Wrong answer, Christians. Again, Steve, is this on? Or is everybody hearing all right? Wrong answer. I am by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Grace means we're not worthy. We're getting it because of his goodness. We get something we don't deserve. Through faith means we believe. It's not, again, it's not through works. It's by we just believe it. It's a gift of God. Because he lives, church, we can face grief and loss with hope. We can face tomorrow. Because he lives, because he loves us, and because he is our hope. Let's bow your heads with me if you would. Thank you, Father. Man, I thank you seems so hollow. It seems so insufficient for what you've done for us. You loved us enough to come among us to be part of the human condition until you loved us enough to die and pay the debt that we owed. It's us that deserves death from our sin. But you love us enough that you took that upon yourself. Father, if there are those this morning that are hearing these words and perhaps don't understand it and perhaps haven't understood it, pierce our hearts with your truth. Show us who you are. Thank you that you live and that you love. In Jesus' name, amen.